Hello, everybody. Welcome to Keith and the Girl. Of course, you're subscribed to iTunes, and this show automatically came right into your feed. If you are not subscribed, fuck you. Hi, Chemda. How are you?
Hi, how's it going?
Well, actually, no joke, right before the show started, I got a text from my mom saying my dad's in the hospital again. He got a stent in his heart.
What?
Another one. So I don't really know the...
Wait, that means he's been in the hospital. He already got the stent?
I guess he just went to the hospital today for a stent, so I don't know if that means... But she didn't mention any kind of heart attack again.
Well, it must have been something to indicate he needed it, unless he went for some random check.
First of all, can't my mom check the show schedule and know when an appropriate time is? Anyway.
She texted this to you?
She texted it, yeah.
Is that weird?
It's best to keep it that way.
Okay.
You know?
All right, if you're comfortable, that's good.
Sometimes it doesn't seem right. But.
So how are you dealing? Do you just go, okay, well, seems like everything's okay, otherwise I'd get a phone call, or, you know, this is just normal for people getting older.
You know, you're in the hospital, they're able to look you over and determine you need a stent, and there was time to relay this message back to my mother.
Right.
So I would assume it's not life-threatening. I mean, it's your heart, but it doesn't sound life-threatening.
Does it trigger something in you, like, I should call my dad more?
No, I just saw him. I'm still good for another 6 months.
Just checking. I think that's the question on, you know, a lot of people's minds when they hear that, because your dad is up there in age. He's
right.
Is he 80 yet?
I don't know. 70s, I'm sure.
He's in the high 70s minimum.
Yeah.
He's got to be at least 78.
That makes sense.
Right?
He's up there.
Oh, no. Or maybe we're just making that up.
He's up there.
Okay. So...
I don't know. It's like the fifth time he's in the hospital for his heart. You know?
Right.
I can't freak out every time.
Right.
You know, calm
down. And also,
down.
He's been dying your whole life, like, according to him.
Yeah, I mean, when he was young, he would keep telling me how he's going to die, how sorry I'll be.
So maybe that was just him getting you ready to not give a fuck.
Maybe. It was a favor.
If he
got out of bed and, you know, his neck twisted the wrong way, he almost got decapitated.
No.
Everything was a big deal. Everything. He had a herniated disc, and he was ready to go at any time.
What's a herniated disc? Just like your back is a little off, right?
I think we all
have one of those.
He sprained his back a little bit, and then he saw on TV, somebody said something about a herniated disc. He knew that's what he had.
I wonder if that's why you're like that when you get hurt. Because you're just like, you show no emotion. You don't want any response to it. You just sort of want to be left alone, sort of thing.
Right.
But then I feel like the people around you don't know how bad it is, and then you're almost still expected to do your normal things because you're so downplaying your thing.
Because I don't want to be like my dad?
Yeah, so maybe. You're so downplaying it that then you get a little annoyed at how much people don't understand, hey, I'm sick. Like, why are you on top of me? But you didn't indicate it. You just went, oh, my back hurts a little. But meanwhile, like, you're in bed, you can't get up, but it's like, okay, your back hurts a little. I don't understand. Was there something I'm missing? And there is something we're missing because you didn't express it because you don't want to be that cry wolf thing or cry baby or cry anything.
Right. Well, my fiance will do something like that where, you know, how about you, you know, let's go out tonight and do whatever. And I'm like, I just told you I have the flu. It's like, well, it doesn't seem like you do.
Right.
You know, I'm like, I can moan more.
I got to tell you, that's a tough one with you. I'm sorry. I don't want to take her side, but I actually do always. But I always want to take her side. But not for just taking her side. Like, you're a tough one with the sickness.
Just believe me.
We don't know what it is. You're just like, I feel a little
right.
And we're like, okay, so then we can go see a movie, right?
Right.
You know? So you might want to, maybe meet in the middle so that we know when you're having a heart attack and when to start caring.
Well, best wishes to my dad, and this show is dedicated to him. A guy that was taking a shit on the subway. He was taking here in New York City, he was taking a dump between cars on the subway, and I guess he fell off the train. Maybe the train's making a curve or something. Got ran over.
I mean,
over
the train
tracks.
Could do anything. You're mid-shit. You're going to get affected.
Right. There's these little... I've walked between cars. There's these little... How do you describe them?
Almost like rope.
Yes.
Sort of, like chain
right.
rope.
So maybe he was trying to be polite by being in between the cars in the first place, and then maybe more polite trying to hang over that rope, but, you know, like rope, even if it's metal, it swings, and you're not going to be able to stay steady.
No, yeah, I was thinking about what if I had like a dumping emergency. First of all, between every stop is no more than 5 minutes, and that's a long time. You know, like a lot of stops are 2 minutes each. So I think I would have to poo my pants and then just walk away after, and people have to deal with it. But in between cars, it really is just crazy. It's just crazy. It's a bad idea. And I'm wondering now that you mentioned those ropes, if he is like sitting on them.
Maybe.
You know?
I mean, he's not all there. You assume he's drunk at least. Around the same time, on the opposite platform, a bloody and battered man crawled up from the tracks with a broken pelvis, severe buttocks injuries, and cuts.
Severe buttocks injuries.
Yeah. Okay. They found a big hole in his butt.
Try getting that in a text from your mom.
So, wow. That last year, I think about 145 people got hit by subways.
What?
Yeah. My fiance used to think it was cute, like on the standing close to the edge.
No,
like, look, I'm standing close to the edge. And she's been in New York long enough now. She's reading the news reports. I see anybody close to me. I back up to the wall.
Me too. Anyone who gets near me, I'm like, you're trying to push me. And every time I walk sort of close to the tracks, because maybe, you know, there's a wall there or something, I'm just like, okay, prepare. Right. You might be thrown right now. And I'm always looking at the tracks like, okay, if I land there, do I go to the other track or do I come back onto our platform? You know, I just like make these plans to save my own life.
Here's a story about a Dutch politician who, his name is Bert Wessink, and he's getting picked on for telling residents that we need to reduce our water consumption, so when you're in the shower, you should just urinate there.
I think people are getting pissed because we're already doing that, but there's no need to call attention to it.
Right. If you combine showers and peeing, you save water and money, so why not? And then people are calling it gross, but I don't know. Doesn't everybody pee in the shower? You're in the shower. Pee.
Who's not peeing in the shower?
Pee in the fucking shower.
Maybe people with a slow drain.
Which way? I see. In the tub. Yeah, just maybe if it's clogged and it's coming back at you. But if everything's fine, you're right there. Pee. You're getting dirt off you anyway. Get everything out.
Yeah, whatever. You know what's the worst is like when you have to pee when you're done.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, do I tell myself off or do I redo everything?
Yeah, well, even then, if I'm out of the shower, I'll turn around and just pee in it like a toilet.
And then their flush is a big thing of water from the shower head.
Do you remember the U.S. Marines that were pissing on the Taliban?
Yes.
A U.S. Marine facing court-martial pleaded guilty. He's taken video of them. He decided to plead guilty. I bet in the military they don't take shit like that. It's like, you know, innocent. They're like, you're fucking guilty. Now say it. Like, oh, well, I'm guilty. Okay. All right. Now there'll be a trial. He pleaded guilty under a plea agreement to crimes stemming from Marines urinating on the bodies of dead Taliban fighters in Afghanistan and then posing for photos with the corpses. And I remember saying this at the time. I get it. You know, we're supposed to send the example, of course, we're America, for God's sake. But you just had these guys just shot your best friend, let's say, you know, just shot a fellow soldier. And you got him, thank God. And then that little skirmish is over. And it's you and your three buddies with five dead Taliban. You're like, hey, you know what? What do I do? Do we just start kicking them in the head? You know, how do you do it? The suicide rate is so high. I just read a story the other day about a psychologist over there, a military psychologist. He just killed himself.
Oh, my God.
Because it's so tough what's going on overseas.
Wow. And
so, you know what? You got to let it out somehow. I don't think pissing on the Taliban's bodies is the worst thing. Don't be taking pictures. Don't be taking videos. And if I'm president of the United States, I wouldn't explain to the press how it's not the worst thing. But I get it.
That's the thing.
Like, you tried to kill me. What did I do? I pissed on you? Sure, I killed you back, but I didn't mean to take it to a nasty level.
That's the thing.
I wanted them to shit on Bin Laden. Oh, we got a nice burial in the sea. I'm like, I hope somebody kicked you in the fucking sea.
That's what I think. I think for the most part, people understand the anger towards, you know, you're living amongst your enemy and they're trying to kill you, things like that. But the stupidity of filming it and taking pictures and posting it in a world where, you know, people are looking for shit like that to pass along, you know?
Right.
The your brain is what's getting put on trial. Like the fact that you don't know better than to boast about it is what's getting put on trial.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that happens in war that people are like, look, you know, we were in the middle of some bullshit and that's what I did, you know, but we're going to keep it here. I mean, you know, unfortunately, that includes raping your own. So that's, you know, that's what you're right. doing to yourself.
Danny's running in from the couch. That's why Keith hated Zero Dark Thirty so much. No one shat on Osama. I stayed till after the credits. I thought maybe that was going to happen. I mean, when they're torturing people so they talk, so they can find Osama bin Laden, and there's no urine involved, I'm like, ah, CIA's right. This is bullshit, this movie. This is some bullshit. The main character says, are we going to piss on him? And the guy that's doing the torturing looks at him and goes, you are a sick bitch. No. Just going to make him drink oil and pretend, make him think he's drowning. And maybe kick him around a little. Pee on him? We're not animals. We're America.
Yeah, but he only said that because there was a camera on him.
Right. It was a movie.
Right.
Staff Sergeant, even then, he knows not to do it. there are HD cameras. What are you, nuts? Throw him in a hot box. Staff Sergeant Edward W. Deptola is accused of desecrating remains. Posing for unofficial photographs. No, they definitely weren't official.
That's so funny. Posing for unofficial photographs. So, right. like, any photograph you send your wife back home,
yeah.
it's unofficial.
They have to okay it. Photographs with human casualties and failing to properly supervise lower-ranking Marines. He admitted his actions were intentional. I don't know. Then, you know what? With everybody killing themselves, do you go, I'm losing my shit like everybody else.
Well,
this is how I lost it. I mean, I could see. Can't you know, maybe it affects the rest of your job. You know, you're not necessarily crazy. I can understand pissing on a dead body and not be crazy. But that's a good defense if you get in big trouble. Like, I got to be crazy. Look at me. I'm pissing on dead bodies. I'm losing my shit.
Yeah, but I wonder if he's not doing that because, you know, to say that you did this is this charge. You know, you chart, like, maybe you're discharged or whatever, but to say that you're crazy means a little bit more, maybe afterwards.
He failed.
Like, a lot of people, when they come home, they say that they're okay so that they can go straight to seeing their family, and then that's not good because some people's families get killed because of, you know, post-trauma.
Right.
But if they say, you know, I am a little disturbed by what I saw, then they're held for like a week or two is what I understand, and then they don't get to just go home and see their family.
He admitted his actions were intentional and that he failed to properly supervise his Marines.
So. That was funny because you have to admit that it's intentional. Otherwise, it's like, I was peeing and I thought it was like a bush, and right. all of a sudden there's this guy.
I saw the pictures and I'm like, what? We really got to be aware of our surroundings.
Yeah, I unintentionally pee. I have a condition.
Mm-hmm. I always got to pee. Deptola is the latest soldier to be charged after a video surfaced online in July of last year. Of U.S. troops urinating on dead Taliban fighters. I remember the pictures. I'm like, yes, fuck them.
We also have to charge them because the other side is watching, you know?
Good. They should know we're scary motherfuckers. They think they're badasses, these Taliban. Not only do we kill you, we piss and shit on you. You're dealing with animals. You're dealing with sick motherfuckers. Maybe the bombings would slow down if they went, whoa. This country pisses on you.
I don't think so. I think they would just know. Be more mad. Like, how dare you?
You think they can get more mad? When people say that, too, don't rile them up. I'd hate to rile up the Taliban by pissing on a body. I mean, they're gonna do some next-level weirdness.
You have some very annoying good points.
Thank you. Oh, I hate this America now. Don't rile them up. They get agitated. Another Marine... Staff Sergeant Joseph W. Chamberlain pleaded guilty last month and was sentenced to 30 days in jail and fined. But I bet they take care of you okay.
Yeah, that's not even that long.
It does.
Can you imagine if I pissed on a body?
I bet you're not busting rocks.
Busting rocks? Yeah. Oh, that's what they used to do old school style?
Yeah. I bet you. I mean, you still have some real prisons do that. And I'm sure they treat you nice if you want an extra piece of cake. I bet they, I'd take care of a guy that pissed on Taliban. I'd have no problem giving you extra dessert.
You're in your own jail, right? Your own people's jail.
He also was reduced in rank to sergeant and from staff sergeant, forfeited 500 days of pay for 6 months. Forfeited $500 of pay for 6 months. But how's he getting paid? Every 2 weeks? Every week? But still.
They're saying every month they keep $500.
He forfeited $500 of pay for 6 months. Does that mean $500 total for out of 6 months?
That wouldn't even be worth mentioning.
Because I'd piss on a Taliban for $500. No problem.
Now that you gave me the price.
Right. It must be $500 a month then, or $500 if he gets paid every 2 weeks to even mention 6 months. Otherwise, you would just say it's a $500 fine.
Right. I would be surprised. I am surprised that he's not just kicked out. Mm.
Administrative punishments were handed to 3 other Marines. Okay. You got to file something one day. Maybe you got to mop the floors. That's not the worst.
You don't have to kill for a little while.
So if you're a private, piss. If you're not, okay.
That's what we got out of this.
You got to calm down a little bit. Vistaprint.com/Keith and the Girl. Here's what you do. You go to Vistaprint.com/Keith and the Girl, and you get business cards. You get business calendars. You get fun calendars for your buddies. My fiance got me one. I love it. You go there, you can design it, put special dates on the calendars for your clients or for your friends. Business cards. We got our business cards from Vistaprint. Fantastic. Nobody knows. We don't know anything about art. 5 minutes, organized it online. We are done.
In fact, we have about 3 or 4 different kinds of business cards because they were so cheap.
Right.
We have a card where if I see someone has an iPhone, I'm like, oh, you want to listen to this podcast. And it's like specifically for those guys. We have one that says, we'll be talking about you, because when people piss me off, I like to give them that.
Vistaprint.com/Keith and the Girl. You go there. Orders over $30, get 50% off, and get this, free shipping on your entire order.
They also do postcards. A lot of people, we get around Christmas, we get postcards saying like, hey, this is my update, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So there's postcards for all kinds of things.
Here's a letter that we got. Hello, Hemda. I'm a VIP member, and I feel very connected to you and your show. I just found out a horrible story about my ex-girlfriend that I'm having a hard time processing. I feel like I just need to let this out, but I don't feel like any of my friends will understand my emotions, partly because I'm a man, partly because it's about an ex. Now, Hemda is a lot of people's psychiatrist. I noticed this.
I get these kinds of letters.
My ex-girlfriend was murdered this week.
Well, not specifically murdered, but tried to kill myself. My friend just killed himself, things like that.
She told her husband that she was going to leave him, and she started to walk out of the house with her 11-month-old son in her arms. Let me tell you something, by the way. And I know I already showed you the end of the story, what happens. But if you're going to leave the other person, and you probably in this case know he's a little violent, then you just leave. You don't, especially with a baby, go, I'm out of here.
Yeah, but you also don't marry that person.
But you did. Maybe
but you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of bad decision making here.
Her husband walked up behind them and shot her in the back of the head. Then he cut her up in the bathtub and tried to hide the body.
Don't you wonder where the kid was the whole time? 11 months, you still need to take care of them.
18 months, and maybe just at that point, you know, crawling around.
18 months, like some, I know, I think I was potty trained by then, and you can kind of walk around.
I feel so conflicted. He was a convicted rapist who spent over a decade in prison. I hate that he has a horrible past.
There you go.
I am a therapist and I work with people of complicated pasts. I want to believe that people can change, but when something like this happens, I lose faith that what I am doing is helping. She wasn't a perfect person, but no one deserves what happened to her. She was beautiful, 6'1", intelligent, and she could be feisty. She helped me find the type of woman I wanted to be with forever.
You know what that sounds like? Hmm. She was kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
And he understood that he did not want a girl with attitude. I know I'm calling a dead person a bitch. I'm talking about he's not into it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised how big of a hole I feel in my heart for this woman now that she is gone. How are you supposed to feel when an ex dies? Thank you for listening. I'm sorry to put this on you, Michael. And here's what Hemda wrote. Michael, I'm very busy right now.
Keith.
Michael, I'm so sorry for your loss. What a gruesome and awful story. Good thing you didn't send this to Keith. He's a monster. How are you supposed to feel exactly like you do? This is incredibly hard to process, even as a complete outsider like myself. Please allow yourself to grieve, talk about it, and feel whatever comes with this huge loss. People don't have to be in your life every day for you to feel something for them. There are a million different kinds of love. The fact is that humanity has lost an innocent person that should affect you. Take time with yourself, tell someone or a bunch of people how you feel. Again, I'm sorry for your loss. Sending you warmth, Hemda.
What do you think? Is that good enough? Like, you know, someone just got murdered. There's not a lot to say.
Right.
It's weird that he thinks it's odd to feel bad about it. Feel as bad as you want.
Right.
I mean, I have exes. If I heard they were murdered, I would be stunned.
Here's a picture. You can see keithandthegirl.com/chat where everybody's hanging out through the camera. And you can also see it on our website. Pictures of the woman. She is attractive. That's
very
always
attractive. Yeah.
That's when it's really a shame.
And that's when it really makes the news anyway.
And a picture of the guy where you go, well, I get it. The guy that did the shooting. Or the,
is that his mugshot?
It must be, unless you hope so, right?
He looks like one of those baby face crazy people, which I could see like that would be more, just harder to figure out.
I'm sorry.
Those guys look so innocent in a way. Like he looks so young and just dopey and doughy. You wouldn't think kill you in the back of your head, you know, shoot you in the back of your head.
Here it is from the Washington Post, what happened. Minnesota man charged with shooting, dismembering wife, hiding remains in bins in friend's garage. A Minnesota man was charged Wednesday with shooting his wife after an argument, sawing her body into pieces and hiding her remains in plastic bins in a friend's garage.
And what? For how long?
Stephen Roger Johnson, he didn't have a plan at the end, 34, of St. Paul, was charged with second-degree murder in the death of his wife, Manya Jewel Johnson, 32. According to the criminal complaint, Johnson admitted that he killed his wife on Sunday after she told him she was leaving and taking the couple's 18-month-old son with her. Yeah, there's something, you just leave. You don't say it. I was reading a story where a transvestite got into a fight with her. No, I think she used to be a guy. I don't think the word's transvestite, is it? She used to be a guy.
So transsexual?
And is now a girl.
Transsexual.
Transsexual. Okay, she's transsexual. Has a man who's okay with this, understands it, but got into a fight and she called him a faggot. And so he beat the shit out of her, him.
Damn.
Yeah, and it's like, that's something you can't do. He's cool with it, then he's cool with it. But you can't turn around going, you suck my dick, you faggot.
Yeah, yeah.
Police said the couple's child was in the home at the time of the slaying. Johnson allegedly told police he had been drinking when he shot his wife in the head and used a saw to dismember her body in the shower, and he placed her in several plastic bins. He says, I swear I did not piss in the shower as well.
Keith.
An animal would do that. Johnson said he then cleaned up his home to hide any evidence and took the bins to his friend's garage in the St. Paul suburb of White Bear Lake.
Why? Why include another person? Why?
The friend didn't know what had happened until Johnson told him later, and the friend called authorities.
Oh, he's dead.
Johnson was in custody Wednesday and unavailable for comment. He was initially assigned a public defender, and the message left at that office was not returned, believe it or not. His bail was set at $2 million.
That's good.
Thing is, he has it. Good job. And Ramsey County Attorney John Chow called the dismemberment an elaborate scheme to try to cover this up. And people know what the word elaborate
is. Right. I wouldn't call this elaborate, yeah.
And they checked his friend's house. It's very horrifying. It shocks the community. According to the charges, St. Paul police went to the Johnson home Monday to check on Manya Johnson. When officers arrived, they were told that White Bear Lake police had received a call from Johnson's friend who reported that Johnson told him Manya Johnson was dead and her body was in the garage. So maybe just from the noise, a neighbor called to complain? No, do you know what I mean?
No. Why did that guy have to...
Why would they check on the woman in the first place?
No, because his friend told on him. His friend...
No, it says, according to the charges, St. Paul police went to the home to check on the woman. When police officers arrived, they were also told that they received a call from Johnson's friend.
Oh, so both things happened.
Yeah.
Oh, because maybe she disappeared for a couple days. People are trying to get in touch with her.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm thinking like it's the same day or something. While St. Paul police were at Johnson's home, he showed up with one of his wife's coworkers. They told police they were looking for Manya, and Johnson said he had left his job to look for his wife after getting a text message saying she didn't show up for work. Manya's coworker and Johnson told police they found her car at a park and ride lot. As an officer was talking with Johnson, an agent called the officer and said authorities had found the dismembered body. Johnson was then arrested.
So he could have possibly gotten away with it because he had a story. You know, he said he was looking for her, although he didn't call the cops to say that she was missing, which you would do right away if you're really, well, not really right away, but I mean, she could have left him and whatever. But But why take it to a friend's house? You know, why not dump it?
And the friend's going to be cool with it. Hey, there's a dismembered body in your garage. Don't even get involved. I'll get rid of it soon. Long story.
Right.
Hashtag bitches. Oh, my God. Too much. Whenever the Batman shooting happened, you know, in the theater, of course, we talked about it. And the maniacs on trial. Accused mass murderer James Holmes, it was revealed, spent at least 2 weeks casing out the Colorado movie theater.
So he admitted that?
He admitted that. And there's also, I guess, camera footage of him checking the doors, what door will keep people from being able to escape, making a special note of the hinges, that kind of thing.
Wow. You know, I don't know why, and I hate to say this out loud, but I don't know why I thought he was dead.
Nah. So, obviously, you know, I mean, to get the guns and all that, but there's no question this was premeditated. A woman, tell me what you think about this. I'm almost thinking poor theater. You know, what if you start a theater and this happened to be your movie theater? It's just like, it's a franchise, you know, like a McDonald's.
Right.
This is your theater.
I also was thinking it's always called the Batman shooting.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Well, we can't show any more Batman movies here, you know, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, the movie Batman has so much negativity around it. You know, did he say he picked Batman on purpose, or he just thought it was a full theater?
Well, there's pictures of him, like, making faces like he's the Joker that they're bringing up to court. His hair was dyed, you know, reminiscent of the Joker when he did this shooting. You know, that's what it was. It's a coincidence. It was Batman, a pretty violent film. It wasn't Les Mis.
But Batman isn't so violent.
It's violent.
No,
these new ones are violent.
Really? Do they kill anyone?
You're thinking of when Pow came on the screen real big.
No, yeah, but you know, like, die. Oh, really?
Because
you know,
Batman's a pussy. He won't kill anybody.
That's what I'm talking about. But other people die.
Making this up. At what year, Danny Hatch? At what year did they go, this Arkham Asylum, this is trouble? You know what I mean? At one year do you go, I guess we're going to implement death?
Well, Danny's chiming in. Good thing the movie itself was strong enough to overcome this negative reputation. Wait, it got 0 Oscar nominations.
Mm.
That's interesting.
I also saw the movie, though, in all fairness.
I did not, so we're going to go by you.
A woman who lost her son in the Aurora Theater shooting has a severe message for the company that owns the Century 16 Theater, saying they are inconsiderate, insensitive, and disrespectful. Here's why. Karen Teeves is the mother of Aurora Theater shooting victim Alex Teeves. He was among the 12 people killed when a gunman walked into the theater during a midnight showing of The Dark Knight Rises. This is July 20th. 58 others were injured, some of them severely. The gunman was arrested and faces trial on more than 160 charges, including murder. Karen and other victims' families received a letter inviting them to the theater grand opening January 17th. So many things you have to think about if you had this theater.
Yeah.
You know, you cleaned it up in 2 days. Now you're like, all right, when do we begin our livelihood again?
Yeah.
You know, you look like a mom, and they opened the next weekend, these animal, anything for a buck. And they're like, I'm sorry, it's a movie theater, it's my livelihood. I'm not George Clooney running a movie theater. I got to make a buck and support my family. When do I open the theater? They just pick an arbitrary time. All right. Let's open it now.
Right. I remember Kurt Cobain died of Nirvana.
Right.
And then I don't know how long it was, but what's his face? The drummer, David Grohl, he started his own band. And people were just like, what the fuck? Your friend died. And I remember I was a teenager, I think, or just... you know, 20 or something like that. And I thought the same thing. I was like, excuse me?
Right.
Now that I'm older, I'm like, what the fuck are you supposed to do?
Right.
You're a musician. You have to... I mean, music is probably the thing that's helping him get over his friend / he has to make money. You know, I mean, if I died or you died, we expect that we're going to have a talk show. You know, we wait a little bit, but... You have to do something. Everyone else goes back to work. In fact, a week or two or a month later, you know, but they have to go back to work.
You don't think Dave Grohl went, yes, finally I can sing?
My grandfather died. I didn't skip a beat. I was working two jobs, you know. What are you supposed to do?
The invitation for January 17th opening called the day a special evening of remembrance. Karen said the timing of the letter is reprehensible. When would it be good?
Well, they also might not want to include her. For what?
Well, that's who it's for mostly, I think. I think, you know, I think these first tickets going out to the victims. They just don't know what to do. Do you send flowers? Nothing, right? You're like, that's it. Nothing.
You put out
some kind of poster on your wall in remembrance. Our hearts go out too. That's all you can do.
That's it. But you don't really, I don't know, you just say, you send a thing that says, you know, we'll always remember your family member, right, and we will always give, we'll always be, I don't know, something.
Like, do you give like free Monday popcorn? We can hardly get out of bed, she says, every day, let alone holidays. So for us to send this, for us to get this 2 days after Christmas was pretty much a slap in the face. See, here's the thing. I think this woman, understandably, is angry and can't take it out on the shooter.
Yeah.
So let me take it out on whoever I can. And I can take it out on the theater. In a tersely worded statement to Cinemark, the company that owns the theater, she joined 9 other families in rejecting the invitation and called it disgusting and offensive. I don't think this theater is going anything for a buck. How do we get them also? They're nervous. They don't know what to do.
Danny's writing in, quote, so sorry for your loss. Are you sure you don't want a large soda? It's only a quarter more.
Right. Here, you know what? I got this one. And they pull out a quarter. They also asked for a boycott of what they called the killing field of our children.
Hey, oh, that's a lot.
They didn't do it.
They did not do it. It could have been any theater.
To offer a free ticket and RSVP for a free ticket? Really? My son paid for his life with that ticket.
Whoa.
Well, then you better go. Cunt.
Oh, my God.
If I paid for my life with my life for any ticket, my fiance better be in the front fucking row. She said that Cinemark has never contacted any of the families affected by the shooting.
Oh, see, they should have contacted them right away. No, I'm serious. This shouldn't have been the first thing.
So what do you mean? Say this again. Oh, that they never... Well, yeah. Do you contact them?
You do. You say, I'm sorry for your loss.
Right away?
I'm sorry for your... Yes, and, you know, we'd like to be a support for you in whatever way we can. See, that's the wording of that is very...
Right, but let me not bring up any suggestions, like a night of remembrance at our movie theater.
No, but you can't say we'd like to support you in any way because it's like, okay, pay for the funeral, blah, blah, blah. You know, because they probably don't have the money for that, but we'd like to be a support for you in whatever way we can.
Could you underline can the way you're saying it?
Whatever way we are able to financially or otherwise.
Right. Don't you fuck us. Karen believes...
They're probably being sued and this is probably going to be one of the things that they use for it.
Karen believes to reach out to the families now is nothing but a publicity stunt. Their greed has totally trumped all human decency. Yeah, you're just angry.
No, if somebody came in this studio and just suddenly killed everyone in the room, it would include Danny, you, and me. And so, I don't know. I think Danny's father has to understand that we, you know, we locked the door and, you know, it's just business as usual and this is our bad luck. Except that place is more public.
As the reopening day draws near, Karen said the newly remodeled Aurora Theater is a place that she and her family will never visit. It's something we want to forget rather than remember.
Well, you'll never forget it. And it's fair, I think, that they don't revisit the place that killed, you know, their son. That's fine. But I don't know. Other people are allowed to go there, right?
I'm looking at the Golden Globe Award winners. No, I'm not seeing Batman. No. No, drama. No.
Drama, maybe.
Musical? Nope. No, nothing. Les Mis, by the way, speaking of them, they you know, it's only like 3 movies that win everything, right? Argo won like a third of everything. Les Mis won a third. And Django won about the other third. And then Homeland cleaned up in the TV sections. Here's a story that I heard. Lenny Marcus sent this to me. And I don't really follow college football at all. Now there's a reason to see what's going on, you know. I mean, it's all over college football, but I did find this interesting. This is the story of a linebacker at Notre Dame, and it just came down to Notre Dame and Alabama. And Alabama is the big winner, I understand. But let me tell you a story about this guy. Here's a little background.
College football's BCS championship game is tonight. Alabama takes on Notre Dame. In the middle of all the hype is a story of hope. As Chip Reed reports, Notre Dame star made his dreams come true.
Notre Dame linebacker Manti Te'o is the best defensive college football player in the nation, winner of a record number of awards. He dominated the field while leading Notre Dame to an undefeated season. What makes his performance all the more remarkable is that he did it while enduring almost unimaginable anguish. Last September, his beloved grandmother died of cancer, and on the same day, just hours later, his girlfriend, Lene Kakua, died after a long battle with leukemia.
You know that feeling of loss?
Te'o told CBS2 in Chicago that she wrote him letters before every game.
Every letter, she said, remember, be humble, be gracious, and always remember that I love you.
Te'o says she asked him not to attend her funeral, telling him, "Babe, if anything happens to me, you promise that you'll stay there and you'll play and you'll honor me through the way you play." And that is what he did. Over the next 10 days, he played two of his best games of the season, leading Notre Dame to victory. On the day his girlfriend was buried, he knelt on the field to pray. In his honor, thousands of fans wore Hawaiian leis.
I'm receiving this peace, this sort of strength from people who I don't even know. They don't even know me, but they care about Manti instead of number five.
And it gives me goosebumps even hearing this. Yeah. I don't know the guy. I don't know college football, but I did see a stadium full of people swinging these leis around, like, you know, the stupid towels you see.
He's Hawaiian?
He's Hawaiian, yeah.
And
so
wow.
They're going, oh, you know, here's for you. Here's for your... you know, your loved one
oh
and
my
all that.
God, I'm getting chicken skin. Wow.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I had goosebumps.
Wow.
Turns out there was no girlfriend, and he made her up, and of course, the death is fake as well. So he's this big guy, going to be first round draft
Keith
pick.
Keith Malley.
Meaning
Keith
every
Malley.
Every pro wants him. He was second up to get the Heisman Trophy. That's the best in college football. And he made this up.
Why?
That's what I'm saying. Now, there's two theories on this. Perhaps he was tricked, catfish style, where the movie, now an MTV TV show, where he never met this woman and was being fucked with and still fell in love. However, he has said that he met her. Now, did he say he met her? This is the best case scenario. He said he met her so he didn't look like a pussy. Of course I met her.
Mm.
And fell in love and was being fucked with. But to me, it seems like he had to know something was up if he didn't make up the whole thing.
Wait.
He's 20. He's probably 21. I was talking to Chris Laker during the marathon and talking about, hey, you know what? When we were kids, it turns out we were both liars. Like when I was in school, I'd lie about having a three-wheeler. I lied about... It's so funny.
I expected a three-way. He says three-wheeler.
Right, three-wheeler.
That was the cutest thing ever.
Right, what's the country?
Oh, my God. That was so cute.
That's a big difference, by the way, between the city and the country. Maybe the country's right about us heathens in the city. Three
oh,
blank.
My God.
Horse. Nah, wheeler. We were going for three-wheeler. Oh, okay.
It's like a weirdo match game thing.
Yeah. But I would say I had a Nintendo. My friend comes over to visit. I'm like, it's in the shop.
Oh.
The Nintendo shop. Mario came by and took it, and he's working on it. You know, and Chris Laker would say these kinds of exaggerated lies for no reason, even when he got into college age. So maybe it wasn't enough that his grandmother died, and she really did die, and then made up this girlfriend. Then people started, you know, figuring out what's going on, and maybe he's like, all right, now I got to make her die.
Wait a minute. So there for sure was an internet girlfriend?
No.
You're even making that story
up? He could be making that up. He could be making up. That's it. That's his thing now. I'll try to... It's a little convoluted.
Because how do you even know that the guy doesn't have a girlfriend?
The college football star who just happens to play for the nation's most celebrated college football program, overcoming adversity, including the deaths of his grandmother and girlfriend, either hours or days apart, depending on who wrote the story, during what would become a magical season. Yes, it's the kind of story America loves, and now it appears much of it is a lie. There is no dead girlfriend. Dead? She never existed. A website figured all this out. Deadspin.com.
What the hell?
That's some name, right? They find out that perhaps the linebacker was even the victim of a hoax, but not the source, but who knows. The young woman, is it Te'o? The young woman who Te'o said was named Lene Kakua, not only didn't die of leukemia, which was said to have been discovered after she was badly injured in an automobile accident last year, but never was alive, and people are giving him the game ball. You take this back with you to Hawaii.
Oh, my God.
You know, people are doing, I mean, it's not the worst problem, but people are donating so much money to leukemia causes, which is good. Okay.
That's nice. Okay.
It's funny, the people that are going to be upset.
Right.
That was false pretense.
Right.
Teo's.
I don't care about leukemia anymore.
Right. Teo's maternal grandmother, Annette Santiago, did pass away last September 11th at the age of 72 in Hawaii, but the website could find no death certificate for Kakua. Or a birth certificate.
Honestly, I wonder if Lauren knows this guy, because that name sounds familiar, no joke.
Where Teo and Kakua, it said that they did meet each other. It's been written up in the papers that this guy says, the first time we met each other, we were into each other, was at one of my football games.
So, but we're not sure if that meeting is real.
Right.
But we know that he did say they met.
He did say they met.
Okay. Well, you're on an island. You're going to bump into each other.
The hoax was perpetrated perhaps by Renaya Tasasopo. Oh, my goodness. This is Hawaii, I'm telling you. It's probably Tasasopo, you know? A high school classmate of the woman whose picture, unbeknownst to her, was used on social media and identified as Kakua. So the he was showing pictures in the news.
Yeah, it sounds like he was embarrassed, so he just killed her. You know,
killed her off in his head.
Like, oh, I don't want to tell anyone.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this poor kid.
Manti.
He's so dumb.
So the boy Manti and the guy are family, said a woman, or at least family friends. She told the website that Tasasopo had been an on-field guest for the November 24th Notre Dame USC game in Los Angeles, a fact confirmed by USC, but it is not known whose guest he was. So you would assume his, you know. It does seem like a big thing that this Kakua was saying, right? Babe, if anything happens to me, you promise that you'll stay there and you'll play and you'll honor me through the way you play.
But someone was there for him, right? So there was a girl there in the stands for him. So
No. When I say picture, I just mean picture through Twitter. Like he would Twitter her and Twitter back. So he was you know?
Maybe.
So he could have been interacting with a prankster, or he's sick and he made all this up.
So no one was in the stands for him ever? Like this girl
not
was
a girl.
Not.
No, I was saying this guy came to a game.
Oh, I see.
Maybe somehow he's popping up like he's fucking around.
So this could be just out of sheer embarrassment and he just wants this girl to go away. Like the idea of this that happened
that
to
she
go
died,
away.
You mean?
No. Like
that, oh, now?
No, the idea that he was dating someone and then it turns out it was a big hoax. He just wanted that to go away, so he killed her off.
Yes.
That's so scary. I feel bad for him a little
bit. And maybe, you know, I mean, not for nothing, but you see how these football players get banged around. They're not curing cancer. So maybe you just think, all right, I'm going to say she's dead, and that's going to be the end of it.
Yeah, but it's not. It's so dramatic.
Now I'm involved more.
Yeah. She could have just went away.
And everybody's like, all these thousands of people on their feet wishing you well. And he's probably like, calm down. And I don't want to think about it.
They would have wished him well just for his grandma.
Yeah, or wish him well because he's a good football player.
Ooh, Emmy's writing in. She's saying, I had to write a huge article summing up every fact, so maybe we'll get clear on here.
Okay.
His friend was pretending to be Lene on Twitter, but it's unclear if Teo knew his friend was pretending. Wherever Lene tweeted she was at, his friend was actually the person there. There are rumors that Teo...
So far she's saying his friend made these Twitters.
Mm-hmm.
Teo could have been in on it with him, saying, pretend that you're my girlfriend, or he was being tricked. That's what she's saying, right?
Yeah, but she's saying that wherever Lene tweeted, she was at. His friend was there.
Right,
his friend was definitely doing the Twittering.
Okay.
There are rumors that Teo might be gay, which is why he made up a girlfriend, but that seems to be not true.
Okay.
From everything I read, sounds like he and his friend made it up.
Okay. To me, you know, reading this, like, you knew a little. You knew.
But why would he make it up just to, like, that's so elaborate.
Well, she's saying because he's gay.
But she's also saying, but that seems to be not true. I feel like people are making something up because it's like, okay, what could it be? Oh, maybe he's gay.
You made it up because you're 21 and you're just talking shit. And you're like, look, I'm fucking.
Yeah, but you're so public. You're so public, but I guess that's why he got his friend now.
You're in the showers. Hey, you fucking anything? Fucking anything. Look at this.
Right.
Look what I got.
It's so weird. I feel bad. I feel bad for him.
Ah, cool, bro. Can we all gangbang her like we do? Ah, she's dead. Ugh. It just got out of control. Oh, my Lord.
Wow. I mean, you know, with that coming up, I'm like, well, what else would it be other than he's gay? Unless he's like, if I don't make a name for myself in college, you know, I might not be able to be endorsed as heavily, you know, throughout my career, because that's the end of it. You're not that smart, obviously.
Right.
So maybe he's like, I got to get some kind of notoriety. I got to get some kind of fame so that this could, you know, blow me up.
Well, he's, you know, okay, the grandmom's terrible. But what if right then you had a girlfriend and she's dead? You're the stuff of Nike commercials, literally.
Right. Well, Danny's saying it's an update of the classic, quote, supermodel friend in Canada excuse.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah.
Well, actually, after all this, his girlfriend now is on his side, but she can't come to the press conferences because she's at work now, which is in Canada.
Well, modeling, of course.
Yeah. I mean, it's the big runway model, and he would rather her not, you know, come out here and make it a big deal.
By the way, the feedback always makes you have, like, you don't have to, but you could write where you're located. And Danny keeps getting these elaborate places of where he's on our couch right now.
Right.
So now he's from A Couch Grows in Astoria.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, this is how horrible cancer is. It's killing imaginary people.
So it's good people gave to leukemia.
I hope so. I mean, this is rough. That I'm telling you that our buddy Elvis was able to fight leukemia and win is shocking, because this is a deadly, deadly disease.
Yeah, he could have fake died.
I mean, at least his ex isn't around to see this horrible thing that he made up.
By the way, Elvis called a couple times during the marathon. My goodness, Keith, you have so many boyfriends. It's so cute. The way your face lights up when it's Elvis, man.
He's a good
you
guy.
Are in love with him and he's in love with you, and it's the most beautiful love ever. No offense to Kat, that's the top love. But if, oh my God.
I have a backup.
If you can not gay marry your male friends, I could list three that Keith would marry. And I'm Danny, not yet, but you know.
You know what? This is
get him some Sherry's berries or something.
This is how it started. They kept saying to this guy, you know, you and your buddy, you're in love and this bro having a little bromance. And he went, I have a girlfriend. She's back in Hawaii. Yeah, but sounds like you think about some. You want to hang out with a dude instead, probably. No. In fact, there's no time to think about anything else because she has leukemia. I have to worry about that too. Yeah, but you still have a little time. No, she's dead. What? Oh, fuck me. She's dead. God, Christ. Wow, you play football just as good. Yeah, I mean, you can't take it on the field, you know? Oh, boy.
My grandma told me not to.
I mean, when you make these stupid lies, like I remember making up, what was it? I think I made up a brother dying because I missed it at a restaurant that I worked at. Because I slept in and I missed my morning shift, and this place didn't fuck around, so I said my brother died. However, I was scheduled to work a double that day, and I really needed the money. So I said, I can come in the evening, though. They're like, your brother's dead. I'm like, it'd be more healthy to not worry about it.
Yeah, but I remember you saying the people who worked with you were like, yeah, you look really sad. You look fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
I guess I have to take that they don't like the way I look today.
Right,
that's fine.
Right.
My brother did die.
Right.
Well, I did get fucked up last night. So maybe that's what they're talking about.
You just want to go, you know what? You always talk shit. I'm the same. No one died.
Right. But you're so insulting.
I wonder if that's a trick, you know? Always say that to somebody. Go, oh, yeah, you look rough.
Right.
And they're like, you motherfucker, no one died. In fact, I was laughing all day at your stupidity. I'm fired? Okay.
That's how you get people to confess.
Right.
If that's how Law and Order does it, why not?
Right. Here's some Twitters that people wrote. Jason Cole, Lance Armstrong to Matty Teo. Wow, that was elaborate. Here's one. Somebody that works on the, or that plays on the New York Nets, the Brooklyn Nets, the new basketball team. Net fans, rest assured that all my girlfriends have existed.
Wow.
Brett Musburger still thinks Teo's girlfriend is fine as hell, though.
Oh, my God.
O.J. Simpson has vowed to find Matty Teo's real girlfriend. Dear Matty Teo, don't send your NFL sign bonus to that nice Nigerian friend of yours.
Oh, my God.
And now people go back and they find the Twitters that this guy wrote to everybody, such as, I finally got verified is a Twitter, you know, when so celebrities don't take, or boring civilians don't take a celebrity's name. Mm. So I don't pretend I'm, you know, whoever, Bono. Oh, oh. So Bono gets a little check mark by his name because he verified it somehow with Twitter.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's kind of good, right?
I'm going to get a checkbox. I want one.
I want one too. That's Danny, right. Get on that.
Thank you.
Seriously, checkbox us. Danny, you're not made up.
That's right. Do you hear me, Danny? And his pal Fanny?
If we get a checkbox by our name, Danny is real.
That's right. Until then, question everything.
Right.
So he wrote, I finally got verified. Like, you know, other things need to be verified too. The worst thing you can do, he says, is fool yourself.
No.
Okay. Leave no stone left unturned, Yeesh. Was a Twitter. Don't worry, we aren't. Don't let your dreams stay dreams. Make them a reality. Okay. You did make it a reality, right? My dreams are becoming your worst nightmare. Hashtag sorry about it. What an asshole.
But like everything he writes will be obnoxious.
Yeah. He wrote.
Because these are like normal whatever tweets.
I have no regrets and will have no regrets because I gave it my all.
Well, that's as good as his lies get, I guess.
This one's my favorite one. Real lies, real lies, real lies. Yes, deep. They do. I wrote him back. I said, indeed, buddy. Indeed.
You and your retweets. Don't ever retweet me. You're so obnoxious.
Thank you.
Oh, I remember, like, I was in Hawaii, and I took a picture, and I said, this is the view this morning.
Right.
And Keith goes, and I don't know how I read, you know, the tone of it, because it was just really something nice. You wrote, oh, that's so nice. We're all so very happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow I read, oh, that's mm-hmm. so nice. We're all so very happy for you.
You read it right.
Yeah.
It's wintertime. She sent pictures of Hawaii. Why do people do that? Here's my feet in sand. Okay, well, I'm going to go to work and think about that.
You Twitter about your lobster roll. Not everyone could get a lobster roll at that minute. We all might want one.
Because I'm talking about somebody dying.
Keith Malley, what?
That's when I get lobster rolls.
No, you've been getting lobster rolls around the clock. In fact,
people have been dying all around me. I just never tell you about them.
Oh, you're so modest.
They're dying constantly.
Oh, do you see dead people?
I don't Twitter my lobster rolls. Cat Twitters lobster rolls and things.
Well, you are one.
Okay? Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, I Twitter some ridiculous stuff.
Well, she apparently Twitters her shits then, if you're one.
Here's Notre Dame responding to what's going on. On December 26th, Notre Dame coaches were informed by Manti Te'o and his parents that Manti had been the victim of what appears to be a hoax in which someone using the fictitious name Lene Kakua apparently ingratiated herself with Manti and then conspired with others to lead him to believe she had tragically died of leukemia. The university immediately initiated an investigation to assist Manti and his family in discovering the motive for and nature of this hoax. While the proper authorities will continue to investigate this troubling matter, this appears to be, at a minimum, a sad and very cruel deception to entertain its perpetrators. We are not, in fact, even sure if leukemia is real. Dennis Brown, university spokesman. These guys.
They should call that the Keith Malley, because you are so good at it.
You the Malley.
That was so awesome. I think I tried to do that once. It was the most awkward. Danny called me out on it right away. I was like, you motherfucker, I'm trying. It's right. Like, no, only Keith can do that.
And so this is Manti Te'o's statement from himself.
Cheese.
NFL draft. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Manti. All right, here's his real statement.
Oh, there's a real one.
This is the real one. That was just a joke. Here's the real one.
Who just slapped my ass?
Oh, Manti. You got to take this serious. It's kind of a big deal. Everybody's into you. Made everybody feel like an asshole. All right, he says, this is incredibly embarrassing to talk about, but over an extended period of time...
Somebody wrote it for him. That's a big word.
Of course. Over an extended period of time, I dare say, dear sirs and madams, hip, hip, and cheerio, I developed an emotional relationship with a woman I forthwith met online herein.
God, I gotta pee now.
We maintain... you want to use the tub? We maintain what I thought... We maintain what I thought to be an authentic relationship by communicating frequently online at a rapid pace... and on the phone, and I grew to care deeply about her, her feelings, her heart, her soul, her mind. To realize, my brethren, that I was the victim of what was apparently someone's sick joke. And constant lies was and is painful and humiliating.
Oh, God.
Dare I use another big word? Shocking. It further pains me that the grief I felt, I before E, and the sympathies expressed to me at the time of my grandmother's death in September were in any way deepened by what I believe to be another significant loss in my life. I'm just going to sign this. Who the fuck knows what I'm saying? I am enormously grateful for the support of my family, who supported me when I couldn't go over their house for Thanksgiving because I was working on the cure for AIDS by mixing different electrons and neutrons and the building blocks of life known as cells.
Fuck you.
I'm grateful for my friends
and
Notre Dame fans throughout this year. By the way, I'm Mormon. I didn't even know this was a Catholic school. Oh, well. They don't take that very seriously if you can play football, I suppose. To think that I shared with them my happiness about my relationship and details that I thought to be true about her just makes me sick. I hope that people can understand how trying and confusing this whole experience has been. Meanwhile, I just got married as I read this letter. Why not? Never mind. She left me and is fucking my friend. She's dead. In retrospect, I should not have just said that and should not have done any of this. I obviously should have been much more cautious.
Come on, let me breathe.
If anything, we're halfway done. If anything good comes of this, I hope it is that others won't make people up and kill them. I hope it is that others will be far more guarded when making bullshit up. Or rather, when engaging with people online. Than I was. Fortunately, I have a team of raiders working for me, and they say I have many wonderful things in my life. I hope they're real. And I'm looking forward to putting this painful experience behind me as I focus on preparing for the NFL draft. But now, who the fuck knows?
That's it. I'm subscribing to us on iTunes. I do not want to miss the next episode.
Anyway, I have to go. I have a date, right? Hmm? Who knows? Who's to say? You weren't there. I wasn't there. No one was there. But thank you for your support.
Okay. All right. Okay. Shush. Everyone shush.
Here's another story, kind of related. A Louisiana woman claimed to be a victim of stalking after receiving threatening text messages. Her name's Trudy Miller. Turns out she was texting herself threatening message from an ex-boyfriend. She texted herself from one phone to her phone, acted like put her ex-boyfriend's name under it, and said, "Look what my ex-boyfriend's writing." And she didn't know the cops would look into this.
Wait, so she just got a phone and called it her ex's?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. She probably labeled it my ex.
That's wow. Okay. Maybe she plays football.
Maybe. Speaking of, by the way, the Brooklyn Nets, there's a guy, he's a Nets forward, Andre Blanche. He's in trouble.
Did we just watch him? Did we watch him? He was there?
You most likely would have.
Oh, my God. This is, like, so personal to me.
You can get into it more. Chris Humphries was the only guy I heard of because he fucked that big ass. Now there's two people I'm going to know.
I only go by people's beards. Did he have a beard that looks like pubic hair?
Yes. He had
seriously?
A goatee that does.
No, does I think help? The goatee guy was good. The pubic hair guy was horrendous. He's the one I yelled at.
Although maybe he shaved his sides so that he wouldn't be recognized.
Mm.
Andre Blanche found himself embroiled in a scandal after a night out in the town in Philadelphia that ended with a 21-year-old woman calling cops to the hotel suite early yesterday, saying she had been sexually assaulted by at least one of his pals. Sources said the woman, a stripper at a Philly club where Blanche, 26, and a handful of friends were celebrating his contract being guaranteed through the end of the season, followed the group back to the Four Seasons Hotel suite along with two other exotic dancers. The accuser told cops she was sexually assaulted at around 3:30 a.m. Blanche was questioned by police early yesterday and released, after which he tweeted, "I'm okay and I didn't do anything, just was in the area when it happened." Everything spelled wrong, of course. He quickly took down the tweet. His lawyer got to him and said, dumb, dumb. You have to tweet everything. She was so intoxicated, the police commissioner said. She is not going to be a very good witness. From all accounts, Blanche was not personally involved. He was there, but he was not involved.
Wait, what? Excuse me. What is she accusing him specifically?
Yeah, of rape. Mm. Him or his pals. But a local TV news station painted a different picture. Cops found date rape drugs in the suite and compromising photos of the victim on Blanche's cell phone.
Holy balls.
The team, which was in Philly to play the 76ers last night, isn't planning any punishment for Blanche. Blanche was greeted with a smattering of boos when he entered the court.
Fuck.
Right. When he entered the basketball court.
Oh.
No, that's what I mean.
I know. Not like the...
Well, he's not ready to be in a courtroom. Right. Yet, so right. We'll see.
Fuck.
But it's more exciting now for your $15 to go there. And now you know different people. Who to boo, who to call a schmuck.
Do you really need to date rape? Like, I mean, do you really need to give someone a drug? You're the Nets.
Right. I don't know. You don't want any hassle.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. And then you just leave the date rape pills there?
Right. I don't understand the date rape thing anyway. Like, you're fucking a corpse.
Yeah.
You're like a real sick motherfucker. Like, right. You just want in.
You're just like, an no animal. Yeah. I mean, yeah. At that point, honestly, put a cantaloupe in the microwave.
Yeah. What are you fucking? Like, yeah. You're not... I don't know. It's so weird.
You're hoping this guy now says, those prostitutes, I made them all up. This is embarrassing. All right. Case closed. Goodbye. Made it all up. I don't think I'm even a basketball player. I'll look into that.
I don't know. I think if I was famous, I wouldn't be in the room with someone alone.
I wouldn't hang out with women that worked at a strip club. I wouldn't take him back to a hotel. Sorry. Nah. Something sounds, I'm real sorry. So, you know, they're questionable. Is that fair to say? So, you know, I don't need that kind of hassle. When they go, oh, he fucked me in the room. And I told my friends, oh, I was out there with, I think they were kind of prostitutes, to be honest. But anyway, they were definitely strippers. And I got into some kind of hassle with them where the friends go, really?
Yeah, but a lot of people do it because they're like, oh, strippers, these aren't real people. We could just do whatever we want to them. It's not like they're innocent, you know, all the time and are just like, well, I can't believe these strippers got to me. They probably are fucking assholes.
It is something watching, like, the Super Bowl, by the way, coming up. And I'll have people over that just want to be at a party. And
me.
Not, see? And they're not really into the game.
Nope.
And then they'll focus on somebody, and Chemda will be one of these people. Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? And it's funny to go... A murderer, a carjacker, murderer, a drug dealer, a murderer.
Wow. You know what? This year, I don't think I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask what kind of cheese that is.
Jerry Sandusky lawyers argued yesterday that he deserves a new trial because his defense lacked sufficient time to prepare for the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecutors countered by showing most of the documents cited were not relevant to trial. We found kids that will say that he didn't fuck them. The judge did not immediately rule after an hour and a half hearing. I don't know. It looked like they kind of got you, buddy.
We got a pretty rapey show today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Subscribe to iTunes, okay?
Do that. Yeah.
Don't forget, of course, keithandthegirl.com/VIP. We'll have a new episode of Chemda's hit show, What's My Name?
Yep. Gun Control. It's Lauren's dad. And I felt so good after that. I was pacing because I was so high. He did a really good job. Yeah, I didn't tell him what the subject was about because I felt like if you own a bunch of guns, you should be able to answer these questions.
Right.
You know? So.
Was part of you nervous, and I think you do, like, but was part of you nervous going, these gun people really like to act like they have the facts and he's going to make me question, do I have all my facts? Did you think that?
in a way, because I thought this isn't really... a discussion that I normally have with people. I think that guns should have, just like cars have, this piece of paper that says, no matter what, I'm responsible for this.
Right.
And so that's my biggest thing with guns. I understand that this is a culture. In the United States, it's a culture with guns. I don't think that you could change that. I don't think that you could just make it illegal, just like you can't make alcohol illegal.
Right.
Alcohol is terrible. It's it's responsible for a lot of deaths. It's responsible for a lot of, breaking up of families and just horrendous abuse and, just craziness, but you can't take it away anymore. You know, we saw what happened when you took it away. So you can't just take away people's guns. But I do think that we should just have gun laws, gun control, something that attaches you to this deadly, deadly thing, you know? And if we could do that with alcohol, I mean, you know, I don't even know what I mean by that. But this is a thing that we can control, just like a car, you know, by the scratch marks.
It is interesting the trouble we got into because of Prohibition. What happened? People had guns. Very interesting.
I don't think that that is a direct correlation. No.
Guns had something to do with them being able to fight back, didn't it?
No, I think, well, okay, I guess the mobsters.
I thought it did.
Yeah. But so anyway, so I just think I don't know why you would have a gun, but I grew up in New York, so that wasn't, it wasn't in the culture over here. I know it sounds like New York would be the one that would, but we don't have guns. Like, you don't give guns to a 12-year-old like you do in, let's say, Alabama or Texas or whatever.
But New York City, when you say this.
New York City, yeah. Upstate has a whole bunch of guns. But we also don't have hunting in New York City. There's nowhere to hunt. You know, we don't have a place for it. We are on top of each other. But when I go
The NRA is trying to let you hunt in Central Park. I mean, these guys, they're pretty extreme.
But only with a license.
Yeah.
But when I go to places like, Keith, your hometown, mm-hmm. I'm fucking bugging out. My next door neighbor's not near me. No one could hear me if I'm screaming. So I start thinking, maybe I would have a gun there, you know?
I'll tell you what. Everybody seems nicer in these small towns, least to your face. Maybe it's because you could have a gun.
Yeah, I don't appreciate that nice to your face shit.
If everybody could have a gun in the city, you think people would be a little less quick to give the middle finger?
No, I just think we're on top of each other, and it's just, you know, it's just what we are. But when I went even to Hawaii, when I went to that that space that her parents manage, Lauren's parents manage, and it's like at least an acre, and your next door neighbor, I only heard Steven Tyler because he was amplified like crazy, you know? So when I was in there, it was the middle of the night, and I'm in the bathroom, and I hear stuff outside happening. It sounds like somebody's walking, and they're right outside the window. And I'm like, I don't know. Feet kicks in the door, I'm in a compromised position, and what do I do?
Right. So how many guns do you think you would need for that? Four or five?
One
gun? Okay.
One, but he is a collector. He really appreciates it. I've watched him, you know, take it apart, and he, you know, clean. I mean, there are people who are into cars that I'm not into cars. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, I'm not going to defend it because I don't understand owning multiple guns, but I think he really held his own. I think this is a person who is really is really in the know about the stuff that he has. He's not like an ignorant person who just has a bunch of guns because he's like, you know, a bigger man because of it. And it's such a good interview. It's so good. Like, and I really wanted to interview someone with multiple guns, not just one, multiple guns.
You think people think it's fair that it shows all sides?
I think so. Yeah, I do think so.
I get the art of it. I understand collectors. I collect bombs. They're beautiful. They're like little boobs. Metal deadly boobs. Boobs that can kill.
You should have seen when I asked Keith, like, I was like, I'm about to interview Lauren's dad. He has multiple guns. My God. I got text after text. How about this? How about this? How about this? How about this? I had to narrow it down, Keith.
And then I went, is that enough?
Yeah, yeah.
Kendra wrote back, Jesus. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, what was also funny is when you found out that, you know, we could hear Steven Tyler, you were like, try to interview him. Here are some questions you can ask him. And I'm like, as much as I don't know a lot about Steven Tyler, I think I could figure out some questions for Steven Tyler.
Help.
I know. It was really cute. It was very nice. And actually, your gun questions were really helpful. And I asked, I think, the heart of your questions, you know, and anything else that I didn't ask, it was because we pretty much covered it.
There you have it. However, the irony is when I'm in Hawaii, I'm going to look him up and we're going to go skeet shooting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Actually, I might go shooting with him next year.
I mean, if these NRA people, if they would just go, listen. Guns are fucking cool, aren't they? You'd be like, oh, they are cool. All right, you know, quit making stuff up. All right, guys, thank you very much. Let's do this again tomorrow.
Don't forget to subscribe, keithandthegirl.com/iTunes. If you're already on iTunes, just search for Keith and the Girl. And also there's a drop-down button that says share this with a friend. Please share our show with a friend. Make it easy for them to subscribe as well. Spread the word. This is how we got to where we are, where this is our job, and this is how we will continue to make it through. So thank you for your help. Don't forget keithandthegirl.com/iTunes. And if you want the VIP shows, it's keithandthegirl.com/VIP. Thanks.
keithandthegirl.com